All right. So it is Easter Sunday. We went as the BIC, which is the Brethren in Christ. We have we're a smaller denomination, and we went and had dinner. We have bishops over our regions, and Mel and I went to have dinner with our bishop last night, and he looked at me and said, "Well, what are you preaching on tomorrow?" And I'm like, "Well, the resurrection, of course." He's like, "Oh, that's what I assumed." But yes, we are here to celebrate Christ's resurrection. And my sermon is titled, "Jesus Lives," right? And feel free to read that if you can see it. I had kind of fun trying to come up with the news articles, but it was a lot of fun. But that's what we're going to be talking about this morning, is that Jesus lives, right? Amen? And I'm going to start off with a little bit of a story. I know the kids got their story, now you get your story, right? So there was a Sunday school teacher who had just finished telling her third graders about how Jesus was crucified and how he was placed in a tomb with a great stone sealing the opening, okay? They wanted to share the excitement of the resurrection. Then wanting to share the excitement of the resurrection, she asked the kids, "And what do you think were Jesus' first words when he came out of the tomb?" And a little girl in the back of the room shot her arm up and leaped up to her feet and shouted excitedly, said, "Oh, I know, I know." "Well, good," said the teacher. "Tell us, what did he say?" Well, she extended her arms high into the sky and said, "Ta-da! Surprise!" Right? That was the girl's reaction. The story puts a smile on my face, and it's so appropriate for today. Right? Because church, the resurrection of Jesus was indeed a ta-da moment. It truly was. It had touched the lives of believers throughout the ages. It's touched the lives of believers throughout the ages. Yes, in fact, ta-da, Jesus is alive. Jesus lives. I'm sure like many of you here this morning, if you bought a house in before, if you haven't, well, congratulations, you're spared the pain of doing that, but and all that comes with it. But Mel and I bought our first house when we moved up here in August of 2022, and I think I'm safe to say it's probably the most exciting and also the most terrifying thing we've ever done. And now that we've been in a year, we've had some repairs, and that's the most terrifying thing we've ever had to do, is have someone come in and tell us how much something's going to cost to be fixed, and it's all falling on us. It's scary. But in the real estate business, there's three well-known rules, and you may be able to guess them right off the bat. And those three rules, those three truths, will determine whether a piece of property is going to sell good or it's going to have some trouble selling most of the time. And these three rules are location, 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 right? What matters most is where the property is located. Even if it's an old, crumbling down place, or if the appliances are out of date, it still typically will sell pretty well if it's in a good location. And now, you may think Abilene's too small to have locations, but I tell you, there are locations in Abilene. And I personally think Mel and I lucked out when we bought our house, because going in, we didn't know Abilene. We didn't know where the best locations were in town. And no offense to anybody who lives east of Buckeye, but I believe the west side of Buckeye is where everything's at. Right? So we live on the west side of Buckeye. And in my opinion, that's the golden spot. I mean, you have the big park, Eisenhower Park, right? You got the pool. All the baseball fields are over there. We have all the schools but one, even though we don't send our kids to those schools. But there's so many things on the west side of Buckeye versus the east side of Buckeye, right? The hospital's over there. I don't need the hospital, though. I'm young. No, I say that, and I'm going to do something tomorrow. But, so, location is key. The buying and selling of real estate is all about location, location, location. And quite honestly, Scripture is very clear that everyone will live eternity somewhere. So it too is just a matter of location, location, location. Really, it's just location or location. There's no third. But, so even in our spiritual lives, it's all about location. And today, of course, is Easter Sunday. So I'd like to share something really inspiring on this incredible day with you. In order to do so, I'm going to share 3 points with you this morning. Now, if you've been here before or if this is your first time, I usually don't go out and just tell you all my points. I build up to it. But this morning, I'm going to share all 3 points with you right up front. Okay? So here are the 3 points that I've come up with great contemplation. Okay? Are you ready? All right. They are? No. Close. He is risen. He is risen. He is risen. Right? I know that's going to be hard to comprehend, but those are my 3 points. He is risen. He is risen. He is risen. Now be aware, each of these points are equally important. So I will begin with the first one. And you've guessed it. It is He is risen, right? We're going to jump into our scripture reading this morning. So if you have a Bible, I encourage you to get it. There may be some in the pew in front of you if you did not bring one. But we're going to be in Luke 24. So if you want to turn there with me, Luke chapter 24, and we're going to be starting in verse 1. Luke 24, verse 1, and I'm going to be reading through verse 12. So it says this. It says, "Now on the first day of the week, at early dawn, the women went to the tomb, taking the aromatic spices they had prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men stood beside them in dazzling attire. The women were terribly frightened and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, 'Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but he has been raised. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise again?' Then the women remembered his words, and when they returned from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of Jesus, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed like pure nonsense to them, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. He bent down and saw on only the strips of linen cloth. Then he went home, wondering what had happened." So we see here Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of Jesus, and other women. They're making their way to the tomb of Jesus, which was very, very normal thing to do after someone passed away, right? Well, what do you think they expected to find? So that's the big question. I would suppose they expect that what you and I would expect to find when we visit someone, a grave of a friend or a loved one, right? That the grave is there, the tomb's untouched, nothing's messed up, right? That's what they would expect. You certainly would not expect that your friend or loved one to be gone, right? You wouldn't expect that. And yet that is exactly what these women encountered. That's what they encountered. This event is highly dramatic in Matthew's telling. We heard Luke's version here. Matthew's telling, it's a little bit more dramatic. And he says that there is a great earthquake which shakes up their perspective and probably everything else. And when then an angel of the Lord descends from heaven, and remarkably, this single angel rolls back the stone of the grave and then sits on it. And then the angel looks at them, dazzling like a lightning bolt, right? Can you imagine how shocking it would be for these women to witness all of this? It's unbelievable, really, right? And even in the guards' behavior, tells us how disarming it was. It says they panic to the point that they pass out, they become as dead. But you know what? The women, they kept it together, right? Like women usually do. They keep it together. Perhaps that's why Jesus chose to meet with the women first, because he knew they could handle it. But we're not sure. Then in Mark's telling, an angel speaks to them. He says this, it's up on the screen for you. He says, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place where they laid him." Church, the tomb is empty. He's risen. They've come to a place of death, yet they find life. This is a game changer. It's a life-altering encounter for these women, right? Because not even death could defeat their Lord. Death couldn't even defeat him. Church, he is risen. Amen? Though they remain afraid, and of course, why wouldn't you be afraid? Though they remain afraid and probably unsure about what this all means for them right then and there, they knew that nothing will ever be the same. Nothing ever will be the same. Then the angel commands them to go quickly. Go quickly and tell the disciples that Jesus is risen. That Jesus Christ is no longer dead, right? The angel tells them that Jesus is going ahead of them to Galilee and to see him there. And so they respond. They immediately leave the tomb, right? Filled with fear, with great joy, and they ran to tell his disciples. They were surely overwhelmed, right? With emotions filled with both fear and joy. You know, as humans, we can be filled with different emotions at the same time. We can have a complicated mix of emotions inside of us. They swell over us at the same time, seems like sometimes, right? So these women are afraid, and yet they are filled with great joy, right? Then suddenly, again back to Matthew's telling, Jesus meets them on the road and says this. He says, "Greetings," right? Or as Papa Bear said, "Hello," right? It was simple. It was human, right? Because Jesus was human. He wasn't some spiritual being coming back. He was fully human when he came back from the dead. And of course, they're elated that they come right up to him and embrace his feet. They understood who he was, and we are also told that they worshiped him. What a beautiful picture. They worshiped the risen Savior right there, right then. So, he is risen physically from the dead, which brings me to my second point, is he is risen, right? Not only have the women witnessed the empty tomb, not only have they witnessed this great earthquake and a stone being rolled away by an angelic being, but they have experienced personally the risen Savior. For them, it's completely clear. There's no wondering about what happened. All the wonder's gone. They see it. He is risen. Jesus is risen. Then the Lord says to the women, and it's up there on the screen, says, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. They will see me there." Jesus tells them to go and tell. Jesus commands them to go and tell, to share the good news of the resurrection, right? Jesus is clear that he wants all to know the good news. The good news that he is risen, that death has been conquered, right? This resurrection, this conquering of death, it's not just for Jesus. You see, this resurrection is for everyone. Amen? It's for everyone. Everyone who accepts, everyone who proclaims Jesus as their Savior and the Lord. It's for them. And it cost us nothing. It's a free gift, right? He is risen personally from the dead. Which brings us to my last point. And of course you know it. It's he is risen. So the women go and tell. And in turn, those that they tell turn and go and tell. And then those go and tell, and they all share the good news with everybody. And it's this it just keeps happening, right? And in this way, the message of Christ's resurrection is passed down through the ages, right? It's passed down through generations. Church, it's passed down to you and to me this morning, right here. It's continuing to be passed down. We've been given this good news, and we're called to go and tell, to share the good news. Right? And that's what Easter's about, is to share that good news that he is risen. He is risen. He is risen, right? Now, I know what you're thinking. Those 3 points may seem pretty hard to take on, right? Too difficult to comprehend, possibly. But the fact that Christ is risen, it may seem confusing to some people. It may be unbelievable to others. It is unbelievable, yet the scripture tells us that hundreds of men and women encountered the risen Lord, right? If we listen to the testimony of all the people that Jesus appeared to, we would be here all day and all night for multiple days, okay? It would take over 128 hours, straight hours, just to hear a 15-minute testimony from every single person, okay? That's a long time. Jesus Christ demonstrated that there is life after death. You know what? That's what he promises to his children. We have life after death. And there weren't only one or two witnesses. I want you to grasp this. There were over 500, right? 500 people who physically saw and interacted with the risen Lord. Scripture, throughout Scripture, it speaks about 2 or 3 witnesses required to bring a charge on someone or to establish the truth of an event. Well, God didn't have just 1 or 2. He had 500 people establish this truth, establish the truth of the resurrection of the Lord. So my question is this. How can the world be so blind, right? How can we be so blind at times? When the truth is right in front of us, and there's witness upon witness upon witness that establishes this truth, that he is risen, right? That he is risen. As I close this morning, I want to share with you I read through it a little bit, but I think it would be an interesting production to see. But in John Masefield's drama, The Trial of Jesus, which is an old play, there's a striking passage in which a Roman centurion is command of the soldiers at the cross, and he comes back to Pilate to hand in his report for the day's work. And after the report is given, Pilate's wife beckons to the centurion and begs him to tell how the prisoner died. When he finished telling the story, she suddenly asked this. She asked, "Do you think he is dead?" The centurion answered, "No, my lady, I don't." "Then where is he?" she said. To which the Roman replied, "Let loose in the world, my lady, where no one can stop his truth." Right? The tomb is empty. Jesus lives, right? Amen? He lives. He is risen. He is risen. He is risen indeed. And that's what I want you to take with you this morning. We're going to close with a song here in a second, but this event, this first Easter, became inspiration for a contemporary hymn called, which I only found it this year. I mean, it's been around for ages, but it's called the Easter Song. We're going to close with this song, but I do encourage you, please feel free to stay seated. There's a little bit of, an intro to the song. And when she starts singing, if you feel led, you can stand and we'll sing and close with that song. So, Barth.